9. I'm going to bring the second message in the series that we began last Sunday night. I really had intended to preach this tonight, but the more I studied, the more I worked on this, the more I felt the Lord leading and guiding for the message to be this morning. Genesis chapter number 39, we'll begin reading with verse number 12. I'm always fearful when I announce that we're going to have a series because I never can stay with it like I really want to. This morning we're going to have the second in the series of Joseph, God's man in God's place. And I believe as we study the life of Joseph, you'll find that he is God's man, and that you'll find that when he is in the place everywhere God had for him, he continually was the man of God. Genesis chapter number 39, verse number 1. It says, "And Joseph was brought down to Egypt, and Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, an Egyptian, bought him of the hands of the Ishmaelites, which had brought him down thither. And the Lord was with Joseph, and he was a prosperous man. And he was in the house of his master, the Egyptian. And his master saw that the Lord was with him, and that the Lord made all that he did to prosper in his hand. And Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him. And he made him an overseer over his house. And all that he had he put into his hand. And it came to pass from the time that he had made him overseer in his house, and over all that he had, that the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house for Joseph's sake. And the blessing of the Lord was upon all that he had, in the house and in the field. And he left all that he had in Joseph's hand. And he knew not aught he had, save the bread which he did eat. And Joseph was a goodly person and well favored. And it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, Lie with me. But he refused and said unto his master's wife, Behold, my master wanteth not what is with me in the house, and he committeth all that he hath to my hand. There is none greater in this house than I, neither hath he kept back anything from me but thee, because thou art his wife. Now then, how then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? And it came to pass, as she spake to Joseph day by day, that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. And it came to pass about this time that Joseph went into the house to do his business, and there was none of the men of the house there within. And she caught him by his garment, saying, Lie with me. And he left his garment in her hand and fled and got him out. That's reading down through verse number 12. This morning I want us to think upon the topic. The second message of this series of God's man in God's place is Joseph the slave. Now, last Sunday night, we began the series and noticed that Joseph was a son, and a great son, a prosperous son for his father. We found that there's not much mentioned in the Word of God concerning the early life of Joseph, very little at all concerning his ages or his days before age number 17. We found in verse chapter 37, where we noted last Sunday night that Joseph was 17 years of age, and here we begin the story and the life of Joseph, the great man that he was. Joseph the son. We saw that he was pure. We saw that he had many privileges of his father, and that those privileges and that purity brought about great persecution upon his life. And I'll say again this morning, as last week, that any time that you try to stay pure with the Lord and you have great privileges of God, you can be assured that there's going to be great persecutions that come to you. Now in chapter number 39, what we read this morning, we begin the account of Joseph's sojourn in Egypt. And we find that he spent the rest of his life in the land of Egypt. Only once did Joseph leave Egypt, and that was to bury his father. He made a trip there. It's recorded in Genesis chapter number 50 that Joseph asked leave of the Pharaoh, and he said, Let me bury my father in Canaan. And that was the only time that Joseph ever went back to his homeland, other than the time that his bones was taken out of Egypt after he died and was carried back to Canaan. And so we find that this story now begins, and Joseph now is not considered a son. Joseph has lost his possessions, and He's lost his privileges as a son, but now we find him as a slave. The rest of his life there in the bondage, his great position had changed. He went from a favored son now to a fellow slave with those that was around him. But he was still God's man, and God had a place for him. And I want us to think this morning upon this subject of Joseph the slave and he being God's man. And if Joseph could serve God under the circumstances that Joseph did, then, my friend, we can serve God in the circumstances that we're in. If Joseph could serve God as a son, we can serve God as a son. But if his position changed from a son to a slave, then we can serve God whatever position we might find ourselves in. I'm glad, thank God, this morning we'll never lose our sonship. We'll never lose that relationship that we have with God the Father. We may not be where we ought to be, but we that are saved, if we're born again, if we've trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior, we'll find that our sonship will never end. It'll never go out of existence. And many times we may have to suffer and go through the things maybe as Joseph did in slavery and bondage to the things of this world, but we'll never lose our position with the Lord. Now there's four great distinctive places in the life of Joseph. You'll find the pit, you'll find Potiphar's house, where we're talking of this morning, and then there's two other places, the prison and the palace. Every one of those was God's place for Joseph in his life. God had it planned, God had it charted, God had the course already directed for Joseph's life, and everywhere he was, everywhere that he went, that was God's place for him. And everywhere God found him and Joseph found himself, Joseph was true, and he remained a true man of God. And so God's man in God's place, Joseph truly, really gives us the details of that. I want us to consider this morning three things as we study about Joseph the slave. Just three simple little things as we've read in these verses this morning. And I hope we can find ourselves in these verses. You know, sometimes we come to the house of God and we've got our minds off on something. Sometimes we look like we're in a different world. We look like we act like we're in a strange foreign place. But I believe we can find ourselves this morning in the Word of God. I believe we can find ourselves as Joseph many times as we walk our walk of life for the Lord. And we'll find these things in our life if we truly are a person that's been born again. Truly are, if we've been saved, we will find these things working in our life. Just like we saw last week, we ought to be pure. If we'll be pure, you can just put it down that we'll have the privileges of God. God will bless. God does honor His Word. But then the persecutions come. I want us to notice, first of all, this morning, concerning Joseph the slave, I want us to notice in verse 1 and 2, the providence of God. Now, I tell you what, you use that word providence, and a lot of people, they want to back up on you. But I'm here to tell you this morning that there is a providence of God. There is a place, there is a way that God deals with His people, and it's God's business and nobody else's business. It's God's way and no one else's way. And I want us to notice here, first of all, the providence of God. Now, you'll notice in these verses, you'll find that Joseph was brought down to Egypt. You remember the story of how his brothers had put him in the pit. They had left him there to die, and then there came a band of Ishmaelites along, and they sold Joseph for 20 pieces of silver. That's probably the best deal they ever made, to buy a man of the character and the caliber of Joseph for that price. They went into Egypt and they sold him there in the marketplace as just a piece of furniture or as a good or something that could be used, and they took him there to Egypt. And the Bible says that Potiphar, an officer of Pharaoh, captain of the guard, bought him, and he's purchased him now. He belongs to him. The price of the slave. I remember the price of the Lord Jesus Christ was not 20 pieces of silver, but was 30 pieces of silver. And because of that, Judas, he realized and knew what he had done, and he went out and he hanged himself, and he cashed the money back at those coffers, and he said, "I don't want this," and they said, "We don't want that blood money either." And so you find the price many times we're sold and we sell out very cheaply, and we'll let things come up and disturb us and destroy our effectiveness for a very cheap price. But here these men, these Ishmaelites, they sold Joseph, and Potiphar bought him. Now, I don't know what price he bought him. The Bible doesn't say. Doesn't know if anybody bid against him. It doesn't say. But we do know that Potiphar was a great man. He is a very influential man. And here we see the providence of the sovereign God in this warden that had been taken, or this man, Potiphar, that God instructed him or laid upon his heart to buy this young man, Joseph. Remember now, he's 17 years old. And he's there on the auction block. And there's a man out there that has a great... he's the host of the captain. He's the one that has control of the guard and had oversight of Pharaoh, and a very influential man. And for some reason, he decides that he's going to buy this young boy that's standing up there on the auction block. You say, well, he just decided to do that. I beg your pardon. Here we see the providence of God. Here we see God working and God dealing in the life of Joseph, even though this wicked Egyptian did not even realize it, did not know it. And that makes me realize, that makes me know that God uses the wicked of this world to perform the work of God. God will use whatever is there. God will use to instruct and to help to get the word of God and the will of God accomplished in the lives of people. And now Joseph has been sold. And here we find Potiphar. He was a high official of the government. He was captain of the guard. He protected the king. He protected Pharaoh. So he had great responsibility. Now you notice here, Joseph's location developed his capacity for service. All of a sudden, he's taken off the auction block now, and he's placed in Potiphar's house. And God is doing all of this to work in his life and to work in his dealings, that God can use him wherever he is. And that ought to make us thank God and praise the Lord for every circumstance and every situation that comes our way, to know that the God in heaven, that the God whom I serve, he knows exactly where I am. He knows whether or not I'm in the pit. He knows whether or not I'm on the auction block. He knows whether or not I'm in Potiphar's house. He knows where I am. And God, if I'm true to him, if I'm pure to him, God can work these things in my life, that I can be used of God in a very special and a good way. Joseph had his training here and had his job trained. Right on the job, he was trained for what God was going to use him for. Here we find Joseph's lowliness now. It developed his character for service. No longer is he a son, but he's been brought down to a slave. And he did not do as Job's wife told Job to do. He did not curse God and die. He did not despair. He just went ahead and served God anyway. God's man in God's place. And when we're right with God, if we're servant of God, if we're going to do what God wants us to do, we're not going to be under the circumstances. We're not going to let things get us down. We're just going to go on and serve God anyway. We're just going to go on and be what we ought to be for God. And no matter what anybody says, no matter what anybody does, we're just going to be found faithful in the work of the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what Joseph did. And he, if anybody had a right, humanly speaking, to be down and to be discouraged, Joseph had that right, because he had been taken, his possessions had been robbed of him, his coat has been taken from him, his authority has been taken from him, and now he's been put in a pit and now an auction block, but yet he still serves the Lord. I wonder what it'd take. Wonder how far we'd have to go down before we would not serve the Lord. I've heard people say, I'd serve God doesn't matter what. That sounds a whole lot like Peter in the New Testament. Peter said, Lord, I'll not curse you. I'll not deny you. I'll not do that. And the Lord said, Peter, before the cock crow three times, you'll deny me thrice. And he said, no, not so, Lord. I'll not do that. But you find out here we have Joseph, a man of character, a man that was real, a man that was God's man. And he realized everything in God's life, in his life, was directed of God. And he just took it as it came, and he still served the Lord. I wonder if we do that. So many times we say we're under the circumstances. Well, under the circumstances, I guess I'm doing the best I can. We ought not to be under them. We ought to be just in them. I ought not let circumstances get us down. I ought not let I ought not let troubles get us down. But I'll just say, I'm going to serve God anyway. I'm going to do what I ought to do for the Lord. And I'm going to be what I ought to be for God. Before God will ever honor anyone, the Bible tells us that he will humble us. Look, if you would, with me to the book of Proverbs. Chapter number 15. Proverbs chapter number 15 and verse number 33. It says, the fear of the Lord is instruction of wisdom, and before honor is humility. Before God will honor us, God will humble us. Before God brings us up, God will bring us down. And there's where we find a lot of folks today having difficulty with. They don't want to go down. They don't want to humble themselves before God. The reason a lot of people don't get saved today is because they'll not bow their knee to God. They'll not humble their heart. They'll not humble themselves. They'll not bow their lives to the Lord. They'll just not have humility. They'll say, I'm not ashamed of anything. I'm not going to do that. And they'll stay in that condition. They'll die and go to hell because of pride of their heart. But I also find God not use a lot of Christians today because they're proud. God not use a lot of folks today because they have pride and they'll not humble themselves. There may be some folks in this building this morning. You think you may be God's gift to everything that you want to accomplish and you're not going to humble yourself. You think everything's well, everything's right. But the Bible says here in Proverbs 15:33, and before honor is humility. God knows how to humble us. God knows how to put us on our face before Him. God knows how to break us. God knows how to bend us. God knows how to mold us and make us what we ought to be, that one day we can be honorable and that we can be used of God. Here we're seeing the breaking of Joseph. He was a son. He had the great privileges and great possessions that he had. And here he was the beloved son of his father's old age and had all those things going for him. But now God is letting these things come into his life to bring humility to his soul. And God may let humility things come to us to humble us. If we're not humble ourselves, God knows how to do it. If we'll not bend our knee and our heart to God, God knows how to get our attention that we can be humble before Him. But before God will honor anyone, the Bible says here that He will, and He does know how to humble us. Now we find God may lower your position. God may lessen your possessions. But all that is to the building of your character. And all these messages, all these that we'll be having, some 7 or 8 of them on the life of Joseph, either Sunday morning, Sunday night, or even Wednesday night, whenever God deals with me, we're going to find that all of these messages are dealing with this thing of having the right character and being the right kind of person in the world in which we live. And we don't live in a world any worse than Joseph did. You say, oh, there's much more sin today than there was in Joseph's day. I doubt that very seriously. We find that men and women are the same whatever age they're living in. People are sinners. People are depraved. People are unable to identify with God. They have no ability, and so therefore people are the same. Amen. And sin comes upon all. So we find Joseph now. His position has been lowered. His possessions has been lessened, but God's humbling him and building character in his life. The welfare of Joseph, notice here, in verse number 2, the presence of God. Oh, I'm glad this morning that these verses are here. Verse number 2 says, and the Lord was with Joseph. The Lord was with Joseph. Here you find in the providence of God, you find the presence of God. Nothing is more valuable, no, 1,000 times. More, nothing is more valuable than for you to know that God is with you. Joseph, here the Bible says, the Lord was with Joseph. Now Joseph had all these other things that Potiphar's house had to offer him, but the Bible says the Lord was with him. Here we find the value of the presence of God. I find in the Old Testament, back in the book of Exodus, chapter number 33, I find some verses concerning Moses. And verse number 12 through 17, I want us to look at those. Moses said unto the Lord in verse number 12, Exodus chapter 33, see, thou sayest unto me, bring up this people, that thou hast not let me know whom thou wilt send with me. Thou hast said, I know thee by name, and thou hast also found grace in my sight. Now therefore I pray thee, if I have found grace in thy sight, show me now thy way that I may know thee. And then he says, that I may find grace in thy sight, and consider that this nation is thy people. And he said, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. Moses said, Lord, I want your presence. God says, my presence will be with you. And verse number 15, he says, if thy presence go not with me, carry us not up here. Moses said, God, if you're not going to go with us, don't send us out. God, if you're not going to be with us, Don't send us out. And folks, this morning, we better have the same idea. If God's not with us, we better not go out. If God's not going to be with us, if God's not leading, doesn't matter what people think, doesn't matter what people do, doesn't matter what people say, if God's not with you in the decisions of life that you make, then you better stay out of that, because if God's not with you, it will fail. It'll never last. It will not work unless we have the presence of God in our life. God's presence can make a prison a palace, or God's presence that's not there, His absence of presence, will make a palace a prison. You, whichever way you want to do. You can have the mediocre things of life, but if God's with you, my friend, everything's right. As long as God's with you. As long as God's working with you, you may have just the bare minimums to get by in life, but God can make that home a palace to live in. But if God is not there, that palace that you may live in won't be worth anything to you. It'll be nothing more than a prison. Oh, may God help us to realize the most important thing in my life, the most important thing in your life, is the abiding presence of God in us, that we can follow Him. And Joseph, the Bible says, the Lord was with him. We see God prospered him because of that. Verse 2 says, the Lord was with him, and he was a prosperous man. And he's in the house of the master of his Egyptian. We have trouble evaluating what's really prosperity. We would think of Joseph being prosperous just a few days before that. Just a few days when he was with his father, his other brothers had gone out, and they were out tending the flock. And we would think Joseph was pretty prosperous there at home under the protection of his father. But here in the place of being taken as a slave, God says that he was prosperous. We think prosperity is the things that we have. We look at prosperity as how much I can have, how much I can do, how much I can get, how much am I worth, how much is this, how much is that. That's the way we, in America, 1991, that's the way we look at prosperity. But God looks on prosperity as the dealings of the heart. How much is God with us, and how much does God use us? We look at it as material things. God doesn't. We look at it as things that we can grab a hold of. We look at things that we can spend. We look at things that we can use. But God looks at it as how much can He use us? How much does He have us? How much does He own of us? How much is He going to be used of us in our work of our lives? So we find that Joseph was prosperous because he was God's man. And he wasn't down in the dumps. He didn't have his lower lip pooched out. Sometimes we look like we done eat sour grapes and persimmons. Something's gone wrong in our life, and we look like everything's gone wrong, and everything's gone the wrong direction, and we look terrible. But Joseph was not a man like that. Joseph just took what God gave him, and God prospered him in his life. If we just learn to be faithful to God, just to be where we ought to be, do what we ought to do, say what we ought to say, just be what we ought to be for God, we'd find that God would prosper us as He did Joseph. So here we see the providence of God in his life. He was a prosperous man there in the house of his Egyptians. Now, in verses 3 through 6, we see the performance of Joseph. We see how he acted under pressure. Now, I'll tell you what will determine your character is how you act under pressure. How you're affected by things will determine and show people what you really are. Now, here we find Joseph and his performance, his conduct. Shows once again his great character. His reaction was right and was always right. He did not say, curse God and die. He did not go that way and say, I'm going to give up. I had it well and I was doing good. I was serving my Father. You know, a lot of times we're serving God. A lot of times we go to church. A lot of times we're doing everything we know to do, and still things go wrong. And all of a sudden we say, well, I was doing the best I could and God didn't help me. I'm just going to quit. I'm just going to give up. That shows you have lack of character. That shows you haven't really sold out to God. It's easy to serve God when everything's going well. It's easy to serve God when everything's right, working like it ought to. It's easy to serve God as long as there's harmony. It's easy to serve God as long as things are going the way we know they ought to go, and people are happy and joyous, and the home is right, and everything's right. It's easy to serve God then. But what about the trials that come? And I guarantee you there'll be trials. Amen. It's easy to have compassion to those when they show you compassion, but it's hard to show compassion to those that hate you and despitefully use you. It's easy to show love to those that love you, but it's not so easy to show love to those that hate you It's easy to serve God when everything's going right. I mean, you got a good job, you got a good home, you got a good car, you got a good family, you got a good life, everything going right. But what happens when the devil comes along and knocks the props out like he did Job's life? What's going to happen then? That'll determine what kind of character you have. That'll determine how much you really are a man or a woman, a lady of God. Mike, you and Regina, as long as you're going well, it'd be easy to serve God. But when things don't go well, you better still serve God. Serve the Lord, honor God, and know that He will take care, because in the providence of God, God knows right exactly where you are, just like He knew where Joseph was. Joseph never did get out of the eyesight of God. Joseph never did get out of the earshot of God. Joseph was right where God had placed him. Just like Job was right where God placed him. To show him, to teach him, to train him. We find the wisdom of Joseph. Look at verse number 4. You'll find the word of Joseph. Joseph found grace in his sight and he served him. Here we find the work that Joseph did. He served him. We'd say, well, I'm not going to do that. God's dealt me a bad deck of cards. Now I'm not going to do anything for anybody. Joseph was sold to Potiphar and he served him. He was a servant there in that house because he was God's man. Shows his character. It says here that he served him. And then we see the blessing. He made him overseer of all of his house and all that he put in his hand. And Joseph, he just under the stress of being a slave, Joseph was faithful to his master. And that master gave him everything that he had. The Bible says where we read that why Potiphar didn't even know what he had. Potiphar just gave it to Joseph. You take care of it. Now, you're not going to give a position like that to a man that has no character. You're not going to give that position to a man that's not honest. You're not going to give that position to a person that doesn't care. You're not going to give that position to a person that's just here today, gone tomorrow, in and out, up and down, cold and hot. No, a master gives a servant responsibility when he sees he's faithful. And just like Potiphar gave Joseph those responsibilities, our God in heaven gives us responsibilities according to our faithfulness. God's not going to use somebody that's just in and out. God's not going to bless somebody that's here today and gone tomorrow. God's not going to use somebody that's up on top of the world today and tomorrow you can't find them because they're down lower than a snake's belly. God's not going to use somebody that's hot and then cold and in and out, up and down. God does not use that. God does not deal in those terms. God deals in faithfulness. All that's required of a steward is that he be found faithful. It doesn't say that he be found anything else other than faithful. God says, you be faithful over a few, I'll make you a ruler over many. There, God says, you be humble. You have your humility and you be found faithful. God says, in the end, I'll give you the victory. God says, in the end, I'll give you the joy. God says, in the end, I'll give you the reward. So we find here, the work of Joseph was that he was faithful. Notice, look at verse number 3. It says, the witness... Or verse number 4 says, and Joseph found grace in his sight, and he served him, made him overseer of all of his house and all that he put into his hand. And then it says in verse 3 that his master saw that the Lord was with him. There you see Joseph's witness. Boy, you can have your routine, you can have your rituals, rather, but I tell you what, the world looks at your routine. You can wear your slogans, you can wear your signs. You can put your bumper stickers on your car. You can wear a cross. You can do all you want to do, but the world doesn't look at your rituals. They look at your routine. They look to see what you're doing. They look and see how you're living. They look to see what's going on at your house. And they look to see when you're there and when you're not there. They look to see how faithful you are in the work of God. Joseph had a witness, and the Bible says here his master saw. Potiphar saw something different about that young boy. Remember now, 17 years old. Don't come with this junk. Young people can't serve God. They can. Don't come with this junk that middle-aged people can't serve God, because they can. Don't come up with it and say, well, I'm too old to serve God. You never get. If you're too old to serve God, God will take you home. As long as we're living, as long as we're breathing, as long as we're active in this life, God has a place for us, and God wants us to be His man in His place, realizing the blessings of the Lord. Joseph, had a witness. His worth, oh my. Can you imagine what Joseph would have been worth to a man like Potiphar? He served him. He was faithful to him. Bought him. Now those Ishmaelites, I don't know, as again, the Bible doesn't say what they sold him for. The Bible does say they bought him for 20 pieces of silver. Now traders, that's normal. If they're going to do anything, they're going to sell for a little more than what they gave. But I believe just a little while, Potiphar realized, boy, I've got a bargain. I've got a bargain. I gave this much money for this young man. But he's just as faithful as somebody that had been raised an Egyptian. Why, he's just as honest as someone that had been raised in my home. He's just as honest as the Pharaoh himself. Boy, I found me a bargain when I found him. Here we find the worth of Joseph. My friend, godly people are worth more to a nation than all the possessions that that nation has. A nation may have goods, a nation may have an army, a nation may have all the things that a nation is supposed to have, but godly people are what makes a nation. We're worth more than people think we are. All the world sells us off as cheap. The world doesn't care, but God knows how much we're worth. And God withholds His judgment many times because there are some that are righteous. Why the judgment of God would not fall on Sodom and Gomorrah if He could have found 10 righteous people? That tells me God thinks we're worth quite a bit. So we find here the worth of Joseph. Now as the process of time goes on, verse 5 says that He made him overseer of all that he had over his house. And the Lord blessed the Egyptian's house and his house and his field. Now we find in verse number 7, and it came to pass. Things going pretty well for Joseph up to this point, even though he's a slave. Now we see thirdly and last this morning, the proposition that was given to Joseph. Now here we find his real character. Here we find he was a man. He wasn't some weakling. He was a man. Verse number 7. It says, it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. Now here we find the approach of temptation. Well, it don't hurt anything to look. You ever heard that? Never had really thought of that until just recently. The world said, well, now it doesn't hurt anything just to look. But the Bible gives us instant after instant after instant that it does hurt something to look. I think of Eve. The Bible says she saw that the fruit was good and she took it. The Bible tells us that Lot lifted up his eyes and he looked toward Sodom. And Lot lost everything he had because he first looked. I find a man in the Old Testament by the name of Achan. He saw those Babylonian garments and that gold that God said, don't touch, don't you bring that back in. And old Achan, he looked at it, he wanted it, and he went and hid it in his tent. And he died because of it. All because of the eye gate. All because of his look. I find that David, there on his rooftop of his house, the Bible says he saw Bathsheba bathing herself. He looked upon her. He forsook God and he took that which he saw. All because, first of all, he looked. The world says it doesn't hurt to look. God said looking is the first step of longing and going after that which is wrong and evil. So we find that Potiphar's wife, she cast her eyes upon him. I mean, she had in her mind these wicked, evil things that she wanted, and she put her eyes upon him, and she began that approach to him in that temptation. You know, the devil, he's smart. Temptation is versatile. It's different. If the devil couldn't get him to forget about God in despair, he'd get him in pleasure. He said, oh, you're a slave now. He said, if I can't get you in despair as being a slave, I'll get you in the delight of sex. I'll get you to take over and lose your purity because of that. If pain doesn't get some people, sometimes pleasure does. Pain never hurt the church of God. You can read history books. You can find that troubles and persecution came upon the house of God. And those churches that were persecuted in the dark ages of days gone by, those churches progressed and prospered. And now pleasure has about killed us. Persecution's gone. We don't have any persecution. We're not afraid to come to church this morning. We're not afraid to leave out of here this morning and having our Bible under our arm and go down the street if we want to. There's no persecution. But folks, pleasure has about killed us. The fun and games of this world has about robbed us of everything we call holy. So temptation comes to us. It approaches us. It comes in a different way. It comes in ways in which we don't know it slip up upon us. And we don't realize it. It'll just be there. And then you'll find temptation sometimes has dignity to it. Why, it was the master's wife. Potiphar's wife. She's looked upon Joseph. And now she desires to have him. She looks upon him and she says, come, lie with me. It comes with dignity. It comes, many times, it's not the gutter crowd, but it's those in high society, the dignified. The devil knows how temptation can be used against us. Temptation has a timing. It's after these things in verse number 7. And it came to pass after these things. Anytime you find after these things in the Word of God, you better look long at it. Joseph is not in the pit now. Joseph's in Potiphar's house. He's not just some mere little slave boy. He's a man that has control of everything that Potiphar owns. After these things. After, if we're not careful, pride will come up in Joseph's life. After, if he's not careful, Joseph's think, boy, look who I am. After, in just a little while, Joseph say, well, I've got control of all of it. I can do what I want to do. And it came to pass after these things. His master's wife cast her eyes upon Joseph, and she said, lie with me. And Joseph, of course, the Bible says he refused. We'll see that in just a moment. But not only does temptation have its timing and continual, but it is continual. It's persistent. Look with me, verse number 10. And it came to pass that she spoke to Joseph. You ought to underline those three next words. Day by day. Just because you do away with sin in your life today doesn't mean it won't be before you tomorrow. Just because you resist today doesn't mean you've won the victory. Just because you've had the victory today doesn't mean you're going to have it tomorrow. She come at him day by day. She wasn't easily persuaded, no. She didn't take no for an answer. She come to him after those things that he had been placed in his position. She comes to him day by day, day by day, day after day, week after week, month after month. Persistence. And my friend, if you don't realize it by now, the devil's very persistent in trying to destroy your life. He'll come at you day by day. He'll use everything in the book. He'll take desire. He'll take distress. He'll take perplexity. He'll take problems. He'll take good times. He'll take anything he can to destroy you day by day. Amen. Day by day. You'll spend all. And he'll do everything he can to destroy you. And here we find that Joseph had a war. And if we're going to serve God, I guarantee there'll be a war in our flesh. There'll be a war upon us. And he had a war against the temptation. And Joseph was victorious over that. Oh yes, he was victorious. There's five reasons why we're going to quit. He was steadfast. He was victorious because he was steadfast. Look at verse number 8, would you? But he refused. Look at verse number 10. It says, he hearkened not. Look at verse number 12. He left his garment. Joseph was a man that was steadfast. And he said, no, I'm not going to do it. No, I'm not going to sin. I'm not going to commit this great wickedness in the sight of God. Back a few years ago, I preached a message on Joseph's other coat. Preached it here. We think of Joseph, we think of his coat of many colors. But Joseph had another coat that was just as important. And that's the coat he left in Potiphar's wife's hand. He left it, he fled. He said, I'll not have anything to do with this great wickedness. He was persistent in that he said, no, he was steadfast. He was separated. He didn't want to have anything to do with it day by day. He said in verse number 10, it says that he hearkened not unto her to lie with her or to be with her. He didn't even want to be around it. He said, I'm leaving. Separated from that. He was sincere. He wanted to stay pure. Oh, today, may God help us as Christians to stay pure in the sight of God. To not dilly-dally in the things of the world. Not to get into the things and the curses and the wiles of the devil. Not to get into that, but to stay pure. Young people, stay pure. Stay what you ought to be for God. That God can use you. Be like Joseph, a 17-year-old boy, maybe 18 years old now, but he said no to that wickedness and that sin. The world says it's all right if it feels good, do it. But Joseph said, no, I'll not do that great wickedness in the sight of God. He knew it was sin. He knew it in the sight of God. And he said, I'll not do it. He was God's man in God's place. He was sincere. He was straight. He was honest. He said to his master's wife in verse number 8, Behold, my master wotteth not what is with me in the house, and he hath commanded all that hath in my hand. He said, he'd give me everything he's got except you. And he said, I'm going to stay right by my master. He was honest. God's given us everything that we could imagine. And we better not take that which God says no. God's given us blessing after blessing. God's blessed and given so many things. We better stay honest and stay straight. And then he was stern. He said, how then, in verse number 9, how then can I do this great wickedness in the sight of God? How can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? I think about all the blessings that God has given me, and I wonder sometimes, how can I think some of the things that I do and some of the things that I think? How can I do this great wickedness? Joseph, he was in the pit, and while he was there, he was God's man. That was God's place for him right then. A little bit later, he's in Potiphar's house. And he's still God's man. He doesn't bend. He doesn't bow. He doesn't fold under pressure. He's a young man with character. He's a young man that's right. He's a young man that knows who God is. You know why so many people get in trouble in this world? They don't know who God is. They just don't know who God is. Now he's in Potiphar's house. He's God's man. And again, that's God's place for him. He said, oh, I don't know if I'd like the way God dealing with him. Just wait a little while. You'll like it. Joseph the son, and then Joseph the slave. While he was a son, he was God's man. While he was a slave, he was God's man. Now we go on and read the rest of this passage of Scripture. We'll do that in the next message. You'll find Joseph the slandered. She lies on him. Tells lies on him. But he was still God's man in God's place. Now let me ask you a question this morning. Where are you in your life? Nobody knows but you. You may be undergoing some great trial in your life that nobody knows about but you. Maybe your husband don't know, your wife don't know, but there's some great trial that has been placed there and you just don't understand it. Let me encourage you to do something and to be something. Be God's person, man or woman. Wherever God puts you, be real. Have some character. Be what you ought to be. The greatest need that we have in Christianity today is character. I believe that with all my heart. Just people be what they say they will and say they are. Just be honest. Be what we ought to be. Have some character. There may be some great tragedies already happened in your life. Just be assured, providence of God, He knows all about that. I made a statement here before. I'll say it again. Last year when we was in North Carolina, there's a fellow made a statement that I will never forget it. He said, the God that I've always said knows where I am is the God that knows what it took to get me where I am. And how true that is. He says, the God that knows the difficulties, God knew, is the same God that knew what would bring on those difficulties. And if he can control here and control there, he can control here. The providence of God. Oh, may we be people. May we have character and be God's man, God's woman, God's teenager, God's boy, God's girl in God's place. Just be what you ought to be. in God's place and in God's timing. Don't get ahead of God. Don't get behind God. Just stay right even with the Lord. Be a Joseph, whether you're a son or whether you're a slave. Or we'll find next week whether you be slandered. Just be God's man. Be God's person. Serve Him. Honor Him. Do what you ought to do, that the blessings of the Lord might be upon you. Let's stand this morning. Our Father, as we bow to You today, Lord, I thank You for the Word of God that teaches and trains us in the ways of the Lord. God, You don't leave us here to wander to and fro. Dear God, You teach us. And You've left us Your Word to show us. And Father, I pray this morning that as we've studied this character of Joseph, that Lord, You would help us to be the type of person that can be blessed of God. Lord, may we have a witness and a testimony that You bless us, that You use us. And dear God, may a result of our being right with You be the blessings upon those around us. The Bible tells us, dear Lord, You share with us in Your Word that Potiphar's house and even his field was blessed because of Joseph. Oh God, help us to be Christians, that the world, which is the field, would be blessed because of us. That the Word of God might go forth and people might be saved. Dear Father, I pray now You'd use the message to Your honor, Your glory, not to ours, but God, to Yours. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Page number 366 this morning, Jesus, keep me near the cross. I tell you what, if we stay near the cross, that'd take care of a lot of tragedies of life. It'd take care of a lot of the problems. Take care of it if we just stay near the cross. If we be like Joseph, I guarantee you, Joseph maybe didn't know much about the cross, but he knew about the God of the cross. He knew about Jehovah. And he said, how can I do this great wickedness and sin against God? Joseph was a man that just called sin, sin. He didn't try to color it up. He said, how can I do it? Well, God's blessed me. God's honored me. I'm a slave, but I've got more position, more authority than anybody in this household. He said, how can I sin against God? How can I do this great evil, this wickedness, and sin against the God that's given me? You know what he understood? He understood God's time and God's place because he's God's man. This morning as we sing, are you God's person? Are you living for God? Do you have a testimony that the world sees? Do you have a testimony that the world knows you're saved? Do you have that testimony that God can use you and even amid trials and difficulties that come your way? Do you have that kind of testimony? If you don't have, you ought to get encouragement from the man Joseph and say, I can serve the Lord. Amid troubles and trials, testings, all those things, I can serve God. Let's sing this morning. Jesus, keep me near the cross. That's a good question, good statement. What a request. Keep me near the cross.